Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Chef Egger from the SoCalChef.com. You are listening to the What's Growing On show. Today, I'm honored to have Rincon Fresh, the largest berry producer in California. It is these little critters, these little berries, they have a lot to be talked about. So I have Brian Douglas on the line from Rincon Fresh. How are you doing today, Brian?
Fantastic. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So, you know, last week I had Randy from Four Earth Farms on, and he introduced me to you earlier this week. And it's just amazing how the agricultural world is so intertwined, as well as, you know, just food in general is intertwined. So why don't we just jump right on into this? So tell me a little bit about Rincon Fresh.
Rincon Fresh is a family-owned business. It's on its third generation of growers and family-owned. They started in the, I would say, about 53 years ago in Irvine, California, and moved out to the Oxnard area, and they've been farming all of California and their growing regions with berries since then.
And what's the reason why they moved out to Oxnard? Was land just a lot less expensive at that point?
Well, the founder of the company saw a lot of growth with homes, and they saw a lot of commercials starting going up, and they thought, over a period of time, and he was a very forward-thinking individual, that they thought that Irvine might get a little too crowded. And so they took their berries from the Irvine area and moved them into the Oxnard area, and were one of the first out here.
Oh, wow, wow. So how many acres do you guys grow in overall throughout California?
Overall, just strawberries alone. Just strawberries is about 9,000 acres, several thousand acres in the bush berries, such as blackberries, blueberries, and raspberries.
And that's a whole lot of acreage, especially for California with the price of land.
Right.
Now, I talked to you earlier, and I just found it fascinating. During the height of the berry season, approximately how many people do you employ for the state or for your company?
Well, you know, it varies. Just here in Oxnard and Camarillo, I've seen 14,000. And then you've also got Longpoc, Santa Maria, where it can get up to about the same amount of people. And we also grow in Coachella, and there's several thousand out there.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for employing so many people. What else makes Rincon? You mentioned something about diesel and tractors and stuff. Do you guys do biodiesel or?
Well, I mentioned the diesel and the tractor for many reasons. Everybody has seen the shipper labels that we've packed over the course of our history. We've been a part of making these shippers who they are today, and growing for other labels. Back in April 1st, we started Rincon Fresh to sell our own berries for the first time in history. And the reason why I bring up the tractor and the diesels, we are completely vertically integrated, and we are the only berry shipper that's completely vertically integrated in what we're doing here. There are other berry shippers that. Yeah. So what it is we own the land, we own the tractors. We're trying to get controls on everything so we can help the end user get the product they're looking for. You'll see some growers, they'll plant certain varieties based on tonnage, not necessarily the flavor profile. We are more concerned about the pack and the flavor and the quality of the berry than anything else. So tonnage is great, but to get the right quality product, you really have to do a lot of learning, a lot of education, and we feel that being completely vertically integrated the way we are and knowing what we do about farming for over 53 years, that we really do have a jump on the rest of the industry.
Okay. So, Brian, you just mentioned education. Did you yourself, you've been in agribusiness for so long, did you have any education behind this, or what's your story?
A lot of trial and error as far as growing is concerned. That's probably my largest opportunity at learning. I did do a little bit of college, but, I started working for my grandfather when I was 9. It's been... I'm now 45, and so it's been quite some time that I've had on-hand experience and training, understanding the philosophy of growing, understanding different microclimates, whether it be organic, conventional. There's so many things that go into this. It's not just something you can go to college, get a good hand on, and start off on. This is a lifestyle of what we do. At RenCon, we look at what we do and we say there is no manual for what we do.
I'm reading that right now on your website.
Yeah, each ranch, each micro-growing climate has to be treated completely different. There's just because we use a certain profile of pesticide or nitrogen or something on another ranch, does not necessarily mean we can do that on another. There's so much information in the soil when you test it, the water, the variety of berries you're going to grow. So each and every time that you do it, it's you've got to do it right, and you really got to understand what you're doing and where you're doing it.
That is some fascinating stuff. So when we come back, what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit more about the different varieties that you guys are growing. So I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to the What's Growing On show with me, Chef Egger, from the SoCalChef.com. And I have Brian Douglas from RenCon Fresh, the largest grower of strawberries. And it sounds to me like... You guys are doing a great job here in California. So some of those varieties, Brian, that you're growing in the strawberries, I know Albion was that was kind of the big push there a couple of years ago. Are you guys growing any different varieties now?
Yeah, we grow several different varieties. We grow a variety called 0232. We grew that in conventional, a Sabrina variety, which is also organic and conventional. San Andreas, Radiance, Ventana, Monterey, and Portola.
Oh, wow. Now, when you mentioned that code name, now is that basically what you guys have brought from seed and then you guys have developed that, or one of the seed companies came out and they said, okay, this is what it is and this is why this particular variety of strawberry is a good one? Is that what that code? It's basically a code, right?
The 0232 has not been named. Yeah, the 0232 has not gotten its name yet. The founders of that particular variety have, it's got to go for a few years and then they'll give it a name and it'll be licensed out that way. We also have some of our own proprietary varieties of raspberries and strawberries from the Planosa group, and we're one of the Planosa group is it's just a small group of us. There are a few in Mexico. It is developed and founded in Spain, and we are the only ones out here in California growing it. The raspberries are absolutely amazing. They're about the size of a quarter. They turn a little darker than most raspberries sooner, but the flavor profile is out of this world. And we grow that here in Oxnard 52 weeks a year. And we really didn't think we were going to be very good at branding and selling our own raspberries because we grew them for nature for so many years. And then so we obviously we're expert at growing it, just not selling it. So we have our variety. We put it in the clamshell and started moving it out, and then all of a sudden we found out, wow, the customers love it. We at this point, we can't grow enough of that variety to handle the demand, which has been, which is really, really a good surprise. And then also Planasa makes its own, it makes its own strawberries. So we're growing some of the Planasa strawberry varieties, and everyone will be able to see those come in the springtime.
And you guys do grow blackberries. I saw that. Do you guys deal with boysenberries or no?
No boysenberries, but it's funny you mentioned blackberries. Again, we were a large portion of the nature for their blackberries. This year, we're growing them for ourselves, and we're taking back those ranches to promote Rincon Fresh. We grow what's called an ARC 45. It's I call that the Frankenberry. It's so large. It's a, it's almost as big as my thumb. Flavor profile out of the world. Yeah. And it is a little different than what we call the Wachita variety, which is a smaller blackberry. And it's the Primark 45 has a little bit of red cell, but it's due to the genetic code of the seed variety itself. It's inherent to its natural state, where the Wachita is what's historically known as the true blackberry, which you'll never really see any red cell at all. But the flavor difference between the two is night and day. If I've had several chefs try the ARC 45 and they say, wow, this is amazing. This would go great in a dessert, or it would go great as a jam. And then you compare it against the Wachita variety and you're like, no, this just won't do anymore. We did a lot of education on the blackberries this year with retail. Retailers said we would have 0% red cell, but as we started sampling them out and giving them to the different retailers, they started tasting it, and they were just like, wow, the flavor is off the charts. If the customer can try this, we know we'll get more rings to the register, and that's exactly what happened. We sold more blackberries than we had ever thought we were going to sell in 1 year. We thought we were going to have to continue to have other shippers help market our product, when what had happened was the opposite. We were taking it back from other shippers because we just didn't have enough to sell.
Oh, that's a great, great. That's another one of those funny things. Now, so are you able to almost produce those 52% of the year like you are with you are? Okay. Okay.
Right. Well, we shut production down on those at the like second week of December. And the reason why is Mexico came in to play, and it was the market falls so far that we can no longer make a living on picking the berries. So we do what's called a cutback and a mow down, and we bring the plants. A mow down is about 6 inches from the ground, and a cutback is where we just trim them back long enough to get 3 months and we're ready to produce again. So we did a mow down, and we're going to plan on the first week of April to have the blackberries back in back into the harvest estimates, and we'll go all the way through November, December of 2015, and it'll be very steady. And this year we're looking at about 60,000 to 70,000 packages a week minimum. Probably much more when they peak in July. And the blackberries will be a great addition to our one-stop shop type of service that we're looking for.
So what it really sounds great to me is that you guys really control everything. And that's important because, you know, me as a chef, I really want to know is day's age. I mean, we can... with all the foodborne illness and stuff, it's great to be able to go back to the source.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for operators as well as retail people, I mean, you hear about these crazy, the bad word recall, but you know, a lot of times it's just shifting hands so much. And it sounds like Rincon really is kind of much different than a lot of the other large berry growers out there.
Right. Well, we can go into any of our fields, see something we want to change, and make the change inside of 5 minutes. If we were to go to Yeah, if one of our shippers were to come out into the field with a customer and they wanted to change something, it's almost an act of God to get it to change, because they would have to call their boss, who calls their boss, who calls their boss, who calls the fields, the guy who's in charge of the fields, and then he calls my boss, who then would call us.
Oh, wow.
And then we would, So there's so much missing. If I go out to a field and I can take a customer, and a customer says, wow, I would really love to see a larger fruit, and let's leave the smaller stuff behind, I can walk right up to the harvesting manager and say, hey, this customer would really love to get two or three pallets, four or five truckloads, and this is the quality that we're looking for, and this is the spec. And it changes right then and there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, folks, what I'm going to do is we're gonna do a real quick reset, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Brian Douglas again from Rincon Fresh. We're going to talk about where you can find these actually in retail markets. I just want to remind everybody, you're listening to What's Growing On with Chef Egger from the SoCalChef.com. And we're talking today with Rincon Fresh, Brian Douglas. Brian, so we were a little bit off the air. So what are people, are they seeing Rincon Fresh now on the supermarket shelves, or are you guys, or is it in a different label?
No, actually, you can go to Sprouts or Farmers Markets. You can go to HEB, Albertsons, Safeway, and see our label.
They're out in San Antonio.
Yeah, HEB, Texas.
Yeah.
So you can also go to Associated Wholesale Grocer members and see our label there as well. And that's along the Midwest. We're really working on trying to get our expansion as quickly as possible. But again, we didn't open up Rincon Fresh until April 1st, and we weren't supposed to sell one box until September. But I got a little itchy, and we started selling at the end of May, and it took on a life of its own. And you know, Rincon is expanding rapidly. The great news behind it is we have the infrastructure to make it all happen. It's basically the customers out there that are making the demands. We're just reacting to what they're looking for on service level, quality, flavor, pack size. Again, it all comes back to what the customer's looking for. We're basically fulfilling a lifelong dream of the owner, and his number one concern was service, availability, and service.
That's great. I mean,
so I believe that we produce it. No, you really don't. If I have 100 packages and I have 10 customers, all 10 get 10. When you call in and you ask for a blackberry, a raspberry, a blueberry, and a strawberry, and you give me the order and we accept it, we do not like ever cutting the order by a box. We want to fulfill every single order every single time. And we're pretty good at it. There's been a couple of occasions because of rain and weather that we haven't been able to fulfill 100%. But our service level is 98%. That is almost unheard of with berry shippers today.
Yeah. So my next question is, you were talking about shipping and packaging. So I've seen berries be packed in different ways. Let's first talk about strawberries. I've seen in those in the nets, or not nets, but in like these little baskets, these little green baskets. I've seen them also, what I know is clamshells, which are basically a clear container that are perforated. What is the best way to, for retail or even the chefs out there, what's the best way to get those brought in?
Well, the number one way for food service, I think, to take care of their berries or strawberries is in pints. Clamshells, they're just too much work for somebody in a restaurant to have to open up, dump out, clean. It's so much easier for pints. Raspberries and blackberries, it seems more and more going into clamshells. But for strawberries, I would stay with pints. And for retail, and leave the clamshells there.
I'm sorry, for retail, what was that?
I would leave clamshells with retail.
Okay. And is that because so many people, first of all, you know, it gets exposed to so many people and, you know, the cross-contamination issues, but also mm-hmm. just because of the way it's packed and the way people handle them and stuff like that?
Yeah. I, with food service, it's easier to grab a pint, which is open, than it is mm-hmm. to grab a clamshell, have to open it and get the berries out. I would look at it as just one less step. It just seems to be the best way.
Okay.
I wouldn't do necessarily a clamshell unless I could go to a 4-pound clamshell and I knew that my chefs were going to be able to use the whole 4 pounds in one shot.
Great. Next question. How do you think people should properly take care of their berries? I mean, some people swear do not wash them. Some people say you got to wash them. What is your suggestion?
Well, I truly believe in the wash and rinse.
Okay.
I would not wash them in warm water. I would wash them in the cold water if I could. And just
mm-hmm.
make sure that you have a nice, clean, presentable berry.
Okay, and then so I know that in the past when I've dealt with, you know, these berries, you almost have to wash them very quickly right before service, or even if
right.
you're going to be cooking them at home or using them at home, and they break down so darn quick. Do you have any tips on how to do it? I mean, pat them dry? What's your idea?
You know, I wish I had the answer to that one. Unfortunately, you'd have to talk to the experts about that on that end of the spectrum.
Okay. And then, so raspberries. Now, a lot of times, do you guys put those little pillow packs, is what I call them, underneath those raspberries if you're going to be packing them in those little mini clamshells?
Yeah. The pillow packs are extremely important. It really does mm-hmm. help with the vibration and the mechanical damage.
Okay. And then also, with the little pillow packs, does it also help kind of within that, does it help kind of absorb any ambient humidity that might be around also, or keeping the berry from itself breaking down any quicker from, you know, biological or environmental?
Yeah, it really does start to gather up. If the berry starts to juice a little bit, it starts to gather that up, which is really important. If that juice stays on the berry, it's going to affect the next one touching it, and the one after that. So those
okay.
pillow packs are extremely important to the packing business.
Okay. So do you yourself, you've been in the agribusiness for so long, and do you or does the owners of, you know, Rincon, do you guys have any types of ways you like to prepare these, or just eat them fresh, or is there any ways,
you know,
any ideas that you have out there?
Well, you know what, we've been studying and looking at different recipes, and, you know, we've been looking at magazines, we've been asking some of the experts, and I'll be honest with you, we've come across some amazing recipes that we would like to put on our website. If you have some listeners that have some kind of, not just a regular recipe, but something that sets it apart, something that makes it a little different, I would love to get an email, and I'd love to post those on our website. I would like to get them every week, every month, and we would like to present those on the website as information for the consumers out there, the moms, the dads, so that they can see what's going on, and they would, you know, they can make those recipes at their own homes.
Well, that's great. And what's the website?
It's rinconfresh.com. www.rinconfresh.com.
And so just go on to that, go under maybe the contact us and the listeners or any chefs that might be out there, or even,
yeah.
you know.
Or you can email me directly. Yeah, you can email
okay.
me directly at Brian, Brian, at rinconfresh.com. And
okay.
I can have the magic people who work on the website put that on there.
That would be great. I know that You know, I've done some recipe development, and this is great for culinary students. This is great for other chefs. I mean, that's an opportunity, folks, for you guys to, you know, get your name kind of branded out there. I know Rincon Fresh is an awesome company. They're, you know, just hearing the history about Rincon, you know, just starting out as just a berry grower and then what they've come to now and how quickly they have just since April of 2014. And,
right.
You know, I encourage this.
Yeah, I would encourage people to come to the website, see the family story. It's one thing to hear it's a family company and it's been in business for many years, but to see where they started and to actually see where they're at today, and it's quite a powerful message. It's a very, very powerful story, great family, and it is really something that you can market and hold on to and tell to your friends.
So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that want to go to the U-Picks. Do you guys ever have like a field that you, just for funsies, for people to go out as a family and go do that, or no?
We do not. We do give tours to customers and chefs and education opportunities. If someone wanted to come down and take a tour of Rincon Fresh, look at the fields and have some real inside education as to what it takes to grow berries, flavor profiles that could be missing, or flavor profiles that you want to know about, and the most opportune time to eat a berry, come on down. Love to have you. Love to show you what it's like.
Okay, and you guys are based out of Camarillo, which is, you know, just basically northwest of Los Angeles, so...
Yep.
Great opportunity for those that are in Southern California just to take a day trip. Sorry, to take a day trip out there. You know, just make sure that you guys make that the people out there listening that they will make sure that they contact you guys ahead of time. You can't just show up. I just want everybody to understand that they have a big operation going on out there. Are there any new raspberries or blueberries, blackberries, anything coming down the pipeline that you want to talk about real quick? We have about 2 minutes left.
Well, we are an amazing grower out of Coachella. We have Radiance variety, which normally is grown in Florida. It just happens to grow a little better out here, in my opinion. But they'll ship anywhere. Great flavor profile, very large berry, organic and conventional. And we've got raspberries 52 weeks a year right here in Oxnard. Our blueberries start in Coachella in about 2 weeks. And then as those are winding down, we'll be back here in Oxnard with blueberries. And those start in April. So in April is a big time for us. We'll have raspberries, strawberries, blackberries, and blueberries all with one phone call.
That is great. That's great. And I've been out years ago out to the Oxnard Strawberry Festival. Are there any other food festivals out in that way that you might suggest people go check out, especially if there's berries or anything else out in that area of Ventura County or even Los Angeles?
You know, if you're here during Christmas, downtown L.A. closes down all the streets, and they have a great Christmas festival there. Otherwise, it's the Strawberry Festival here in Ventura County. We've been a part of that festival for many, many years. We're one of the sponsors. And anybody ever wants to come down, give us a call. We'd love to have you as a guest.
And then, I know years ago they used to have kind of a little bit of a cooking competition. Do they still do that?
Yes, they do.
That's great. That's great. Well, we're getting close to the end here, Brian, and I just want to thank you so much for this interview. It was fascinating. I learned so much stuff, and I hope the listeners did also. So I just want to remind everybody you were listening to the What's Grown On show with Chef Egger from the SoCalChef.com. Check out the website. You can also follow me on Facebook at the SoCalChef.com. Brian, what's your website real quick?
It is www.rinconfresh.com, RinconFresh.com.
That is so, that's great. Well, folks, next week we'll be talking about eggs and the egg crisis of California. Until then, as always, take a fresh bite out of life. All right, we're off the air, so we're good. Thank you so much, Brian. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, Edgar. Thank you for having me. I hope I was able to help out and give the answers you're looking for.
Absolutely, you did. I mean, I was, you know, I'll start sending you guys, you know, recipes. I mean, that's what I do for a living. I blog, and I'm trying to get into doing agri tours and stuff like that. And, I'll start shooting you guys some recipes, you know, some things that people can do at home where they can still buy the stuff at the supermarket, and as well as for chefs, you know, that sort of stuff. So I'd love to do that.
The next PMA that is in California, if you want to set up some kind of a tour for your listeners and your chefs that you and your friends, let me know. I'd be happy to set that up. The owner would absolutely love it. The owner is kind of a very quiet, you know, reserved guy. He may not jump out in front and help up, but a lot of us would love to be able to get behind and educate and take on a tour and have a little fun.
That would be cool. That'd be cool. I know that my I got a lot of people that would be really interested in it. So okay. let's